I'm Juliana McCanus, filling in for Clifford Baines, who is standing over a bound and gagged man with a shovel, wondering if he has the guts to go through with it. With so many newspapers struggling financially, some analysts fear the print media is in danger of collapsing. But if newspapers disappear, what will crazy old loons build their dusty, cluttered houses with?
Well, this is a real crisis. If the print media dies, loons will have nothing to stack in huge piles in every corner of their homes.
Exactly. Robert is right. Since the time of the American Revolution, reclusive loons have been hoarding newspapers.
Look, times change. Loons will just have to find something else to stack.
Well, speaking as a loon myself...
You're a loon?
Yes. My home is a maze of old newspapers stacked from floor to ceiling.
I didn't know that.
How could you? No other living person has set foot inside my house in 14 years.
Listen, the death of the newspaper is going to affect a lot more than just a bunch of crazy old loons.
Damn.
Well, there are people all over this country that depend on newspapers to cover the floor of their garage when they're trying to paint something.
Now, I love newspapers as much as any half-crazed pack rat hermit. But the future of the news is the internet, plain and simple.
Come on, David. Kindergarten teachers aren't going to have any newspaper to make their papier-mâché pinatas out of.
Why is that the response?
Besides that, internet news is completely unreliable.
That's right.
Big piles of printout fall right over when your cat jumps on it.
Exactly.
Now, I acknowledge the stackability of newspapers.
Thank you, because stacking is a treasured pastime of loons, something I've dreamed about my son being able to do when he loses his mind.
But loons have learned to adapt in the past. I mean, before newspapers, shut-ins and crazies hoarded animal bones and wax.
You cannot insulate your clothes with animal bones.
Now, some people believe that the government should step in and give financial support to the newspaper industry in order to preserve the loon way of life.
No, we already subsidized Amtrak for the benefit of the loons, costing the taxpayers millions of dollars.
Why are we... Well, Robert, as a loon, do you think...
6:22.
Robert?
1749.
Well... 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5... 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
I have this feeling, man, because you know there's a handful of people actually run everything. That's true. It's provable. It's not a fuck. I'm not a conspiracy nut. It's provable. Handful, very small elite run and own these corporations, which include the mainstream media. I have this feeling who's ever elected president, like Clinton was, no matter what your promises you promise on the campaign trail, blah, 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 when you win, you go into this smoky room with the 12 industrialists, capitalists, scum Fugazi in there, and you're in this smoky room, and this little film screen comes down, and a big guy in a cigar, roll the film. And it's a shot of a Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before. That looks suspiciously off the grassy knoll. And then the film, the screen goes up and the lights come up and they go to the new president. Any questions? Just what my agenda is. First we bomb Baghdad. You got it.
If elections were sports, one, people would watch games in bars like this one. Look around you. It's your favorite spot and all the regulars are coming in again so that they can get started on 2. Eat lots of junk food and drink like there's no tomorrow, because some things in this parallel universe remain the same. 3. Every team would make it to the playoffs because for some reason there are only 2 major league teams. 4. Every game would be held and scored as a rap battle, because why not?
Donald Trump can't tell the difference between fact and fiction. He should never be in charge of making decisions. I think to myself, how sad. We know he has casinos. All he can do is compose tweets and brag.
Hillary's a bigot. She wants to rig it. She's going to do nothing for the Hispanics. Forget it.
I don't think Hillary looks presidential. She looks old. Hello, Hillary.
You're fired.
5. In the case of a freak electrical surge, both teams will teleport into your bar.
She's a world-class fighter. We're not elected. I'll tell you, Hillary is fine.
Dream on, Donald. Donald, dream on, dream on. Next January, I guarantee you'll be born.
There is no other dodge, but this is it. This is the type of man I'll be to be the end. Jesus leading, hope you're in.
Donald Trump is the greatest for you.
You'll be writing books about this. I think I made a lot of sacrifices. When Hillary created ISIS with her stupidity, that's Hillary.
He doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. Imagine if he had not just his Twitter account, but America's entire arsenal. Do we want him making the call?
She doesn't matter where, she's not aware. I know Putin, but we didn't have dinner. I bought thousands and thousands of television sets. I'm so liquid, I don't need it.
She supported Bill Clinton's disastrous NAFTA.
Women don't like her.
Hello, Hillary.
You're fired.
Hillary Clinton, she's a world-class liar. We're not elected. I'll tell you, Hillary, you're fired.
Dream on, Donald. Donald, dream on, dream on. Next January, I guarantee you'll be born.
Hillary Clinton, she's a world-class liar. We're not elected. I'll tell you, Hillary, you're fired.
You saw that she lied with the FBI.
You'll be born.
I'll tell you, Hillary, you're fired.
She's a world-class liar.
You'll be born.
Six, the teams would then return from whence they came, leaving you to wonder at the magnificence of sports. Seven, as the night winds down, a man named Blayson would remain at the bar alone. Eight, the game would distract him from his despair and anguish, but all escapism must end eventually. Nine, he would suddenly realize the full extent of his utter loneliness. 10, perhaps, he would think, I can talk to this other lonely man at the bar.
So did you, watch the debate?
Eleven, then Blayson would notice you. 12, he would imagine all the future times you could hang out, maybe even rooting for the same team together. 13, but then he would notice you're wearing something that indicates you belong to a different social group than him. 14, embarrassed that you saw him staring, Blayson would walk away, never looking back. Why did you wear that? And that's what would happen if elections were sports.
J. Trump, no one thought that he could do it, but he's pulled it off. And I don't mean to be rude, but you guys at the media, you guys might be going, pow.
I'm feeling pretty shocked, honestly, because I didn't think Trump was going to win. I don't think anybody really did. I was, I don't know. I've always kind of believed the polls are always right, so they're not.
Just disgusting to me, and I've seen this happen with Brexit, and I've seen this happen around the world, and it's just so saddening to me that this could possibly happen to our nation, a nation that I find so great and so beautiful, that something like this could happen.
I'm excited. You know, I didn't like him in the beginning, but I love him now.
I feel extremely disappointed. I'm definitely not proud of the decision, but I think we just need to, like every election, come together and, you know, move forward and do what's best for the nation.
We are tired of the corruption at all levels. The corruption from the Democrats and the corruption from the Republicans. We want that swamp clean.
Where this approval said, this is the evidence that Washington is not working, they wanted to kick over the
table. Sorry to keep you waiting. Complicated business. Complicated.
Donald Trump's about to be living in government housing.
Oh!
There are many victories to celebrate this election week, all the way from laws decided by voters to legalized medicinal marijuana to the legalization of recreational marijuana. Yeah, it was mostly pot stuff. But there were also state ballot measures that were big wins for progressive politics. And there were some other news, I think.
Mm.
Sorry, I just remembered a sadistic Japanese game show I saw the other night. So good news, minimum wage increases were passed in many states. Colorado, Maine, and Arizona will increase the minimum wage to $12 an hour by 2020. In Washington, it will rise to $13.50, and voters in Flagstaff, Arizona adopted a $15 an hour rule. And South Dakota rejected a decrease in the minimum wage for teenagers. But why would you want to pay teenagers less? Have you seen the wrath of a pissed off teenager? In 10th grade, when Kevin Fisher lost the election for class treasurer, he single-handedly dragged on the talent show for 4 hours.
Discord! That's how we get the moon. It's sleeping in the middle of a summer's afternoon. Discord!
Which brings me to guns. California and Nevada expanded background checks, and Proposition 63 in California bans possession of large capacity ammunition magazines and expands background checks for ammo. So if you're planning on murdering someone, you have to go through a lot of paperwork, like a lot of paperwork. More than your taxes or answering the questions on a Myers-Briggs personality test. I think I'm an INFY. You know what? I don't have the patience to get through all the questions. I'm whatever the lazy asshole personality is, okay? But if you want to buy a gun, you'll have to answer a lot of questions to make sure you are mentally sound and don't have a criminal record. You have to initial every page, have all the required documents, and it won't even be worth it. By the time you're done searching your entire house for 3 forms of ID, you'll totally forget why you wanted to whack that barista in the first place. And you try spelling the pre-Ellis Island version of your mother's maiden name. Gelber Schnitzen Heiden Bergenstein? That's Austro-Hungarian for Smith. And now some bad news. Nebraska voted to reinstate the death penalty. And I suspect that's why everyone's so unhappy after the election. Right? Nebraska was the stunning upset everyone was talking about. Right? But good news, California expanded parole opportunities for nonviolent criminals. New Mexico allowed pretrial release to those who cannot afford bail, and Oklahoma reclassified drug possession from felonies to misdemeanors. Wow. And to think I almost judged you for also voting for the death penalty, but, you know, water under the bridge. Any money saved from not incarcerating those offenders will go toward drug treatment programs. Of course, people should be treated for addiction, not punished for being a threat to no one but themselves.
Is it weird if on the condom thing I wrote in Gary Johnson?
Gary Johnson.
Didn't really get an answer there, I guess.
Run this circle around circumstance, circumvent the globe, hit the road, jack, not white or black, lost in the gray matter as a matter of fact. You in that area, but there's no time to react. You're still against the grain, trying to maintain, and all the other cliches that come with this rap game. Now it's a trap, holla if the song sorta take you back, golden age brat, watch out below. Look at him go Derwin, microphone Merlin, modern day renaissance man, watch the whirlwind. Back spinning all out of control, lo and behold, these old feelings just steady your soul. Some knowledge is see through, scoping out the clear view, dangling off the rear view, ain't nobody can read you. Even Mom Duke says just live a little, the simple things in life are embedded in the riddle. What can you do? You can't turn back the clock, that's why you keep moving and you don't stop. What can you do? You can't turn back the clock, that's why you keep moving and you don't stop. What can you do? You can't turn back the clock, that's why you keep moving and you don't stop. What can you do? You can't turn back the clock.
Some say dollars is freedom, other money is a heartbreak, and love conquers all except the divorce, sauce, and heartache. Like, children are cool, chilling is cool, finish the school. The minute you want solid ground, it flips and you pity this fool. To the people of the inner city, keep breaking the rules, only to change the system that's giving y'all the limited tools. Yo, humans are investments, ain't no magical pills. And government shouts, there's no money sitting on Capitol Hill. So I punch the drunken altercations like goodness is an
went off beat, the old eagle rocks, the bongos, this goes out to all who claim they figured it out, for when this record triggers open, triggers the doubt.
What can you do? You can't turn back the clock, that's why you keep moving and you don't stop. What can you do? You can't turn back the clock, that's why you keep moving and you don't stop. What can you do? You can't turn back the clock, that's why you keep moving and you don't stop. What can you do? You can't turn back the clock. Yo, these New York citizens walking erratic speeds. The mic booth denizen bringing you what you need out of some no-name wasteland in the confines of Brooklyn. Babbling townsfolk got jokes for you humans. Well, already drop confetti, winter in the life now. I sound redundant, maybe I ought to pipe down. Buzz killed through repetition at random. So abruptly unfocused, I lost sight of my tantrum. Come on, baby, ain't nothing so cut and dry. Mid-90s, still undoing that bug and fly. Can't the petty pride, you're all citywide. Compete, the L-Train city guy. Your dope beats are like lyrical bail money. Out the brain cell block, now I'm out of parole. But slow your roll, cause you got no place to go. So tell a friend that the world is round. 365, another year dies down. 365, another year dies down. 365, another year dies down.
Yo, in the sport of kings, better than them diamond rings. Who brought more ish than this mother effing rhyming brings? That's any damn man doing music. How we use it like he knew that shit was fresh, but you like sight, you abuse it. Choose to let it lie, hunt for naught just to dead it. Dispersions are all casted, this fool's like I can't wet it. Doctor's orders, you can't quarantine him to his quarters, cause he's always gonna be doing what he ought, not order. Plus it says in God, we trust on the thing, we trust more than God. Worship my $50 bills on those shoots of fatal gong. If you need me, I'll be at the stool at the end of the bong. Contemplating my navel and what the hell went wrong. I'm in a state of zen, they actions make me xenophobic. When's the last time you shot a man, or is that question still loaded? I'm the father of angster rap absentee, just call me Uneasy E. You're feeling nervous, and there I be. Please don't miss my words up, we just a disenfranchised. Where we serve these suckers with an option for fries. To the peace nick receiver, complete a pacifist to the face piece. A non-believer in his procedure, don't be fooled by what proceeded ya. Needless to notify, y'all teammates of mine on this club call humankind.
Chief strategist for President-elect Donald Trump once said a website he used to run, Breitbart News, is a platform for the so-called alt-right. We're about to hear more about that movement from the man who says he came up with the term alt-right. His name is Richard Spencer, and in 2008 he began arguing there should be an alternative to George W. Bush-era Republicans and conservatives. Richard Spencer now runs a small think tank that pushes alt-right ideas. To be clear, the alt-right movement is also a white nationalist movement that's associated with racism, misogyny, and anti-Semitism. What the alt-right wants, Spencer says, is an awakening of identity politics, meaning white identity politics. The alt-right used to exist mostly on the internet, but with the rise of Donald Trump and his chief strategist, Steve Bannon, the movement is starting to hold conferences where hundreds of people attend. Spencer and others in the alt-right movement were suspended from Twitter this week. But now that Trump has been elected, Spencer says he believes the alt-right will continue to grow.
This is the first time we've really entered the mainstream, and we're not going away. I mean, this is just the beginning, and I'm very excited.
Just a warning here. There are words and phrases and ideas in the next 7 minutes that many people will find offensive, even hateful. But because this group has influence, we think you should hear what the alt-right is and what it wants from a Trump administration. So I asked Spencer that, and he said his end goal is a white ethno-state sometime in the future.
What I would ultimately want is this ideal of a safe space, effectively, for Europeans. This is a big empire that would accept all Europeans. It would be a place for Germans, it would be a place for Slavs, it would be a place for Celts, it would be a place for white Americans, and so on. For something like that to happen, and really for Europeans to survive and thrive in this very difficult century that we're going to be experiencing, we have to have a sense of consciousness. we're going to have that sense of identity.
Going forward, should only white European people be considered U.S. citizens?
Well, no. I mean, the citizenship of the United States, like, this is not something that can be changed right away. So, I mean, I think we need to differentiate identity and citizenship.
So in your ideal, like, there's a United States of America where different people still have citizenship, but they're living in separate enclaves. They're living in places where they are kept separate from one another.
What I'm saying is that Europeans defined America. They defined what it is. Of course, there are people who are non-European who are here, who are citizens, and so on.
Many would argue also defined America.
Sure. And they did to a certain degree. But European people were the indispensable central people that defined this nation socially and politically and culturally and demographically, obviously. I care about us more. That's all I'm saying. But I respect identitarians of other races. And I actually can see eye to eye with them in a way that your average conservative can't.
But you also believe that that people of different races inherently do not get along. Isn't that right?
I think world history believes that. I mean, I don't... It's not just my opinion. I don't see very many counterexamples.
So you ride the subway in New York City, and you're sitting in a subway car, and you're looking at people from all over everywhere, mm-hmm. and nobody's punching each other, nobody's stabbing anyone, everyone's going about their life, going to work. You know, you don't see that as, like, a way where people are getting along.
Do we really like each other? Do we really love each other? Do we really have a sense of community in that subway car? What I see are a
or
lot
in a
of
cul-de-sac or in a kindergarten.
Whenever many different races are in the same school, what will happen is that there will be a natural segregation at lunchtime, at PE, in terms of after-school play.
Richard Spencer's views are obviously not easy to hear, but we do think they're important to hear because of the link between the alt-right and Donald Trump's team. I asked Richard Spencer what policies he's pushing for. Natural conservation, he said, a foreign policy that's friendlier to Russia, and this.
Immigration is the most obvious one. And I think we need to get beyond thinking about immigration just in terms of illegal immigration. Illegal immigration is not nearly as damaging as legal immigration. Legal immigration, they're here to stay, their children are here, and so on. And I think a really reasonable and I think palatable policy proposal would be for Donald Trump to say, look, we've had immigration in the past. It's brought some fragmentation. It's brought division. But we need to become a people again. And for us to do that, we're going to need to take a break from mass immigration. And we're going to need to preference people who are going to fit in, who are more like us. That is European immigration.
You know, how likely do you think it is that some of these policies that you want to see happen will happen?
What I want is influence. And sometimes influence can be invisible. If we can get these ideas out there, if people can see the compelling and powerful nature of them, I think we really can change policy.
I just want to go down a list of things, and you tell me if they are okay or not okay.
Okay.
Graffiti that says, "Make America White Again."
Look, graffiti is illegal, but...
The slogan, "Make America White Again."
I don't have a huge problem with that. I mean, that people are just expressing their opinion.
Swastikas.
A swastika is an ancient symbol. If you're asking me, do I have a problem with people expressing themselves? And maybe,
with
you know,
a swastika.
People want to express themselves. They can do whatever they want.
So that's an okay. Wearing white robes or hoods like the KKK.
Look, you're not going to get me to condemn any of this because you haven't said anything that is really fundamentally illegal or immoral. I might not agree with some people. I might not like this. I might like that, not like that. But the fact is, these are people expressing themselves. I'm not going to condemn any of that.
Do you agree with those expressions?
I agree with people who want to get in touch with their identity as a European. That can take a number of different forms. I don't support any kind of physical threats or anything like that. I think that does cross the line. But in terms of people becoming to terms with who they are, I don't oppose it. And I actually would respect, deeply respect, the right of non-white people to try to understand themselves and to express themselves as they see fit.
What about Republicans in particular?
Not a fan.
Right.
Well, I like the voters. Like, the voters are great. The fact that they just chose Donald Trump, that is great. I love them. In terms of Republican operatives, in terms of the conservative movement, not a fan.
I guess I'm thinking of just Republicans in general, like people maybe who also voted for Donald Trump, but who will say, you know, that your views are racist and are extreme and don't have a place in this country. How do you deal with them?
If I had told you in 1985 that we should have gay marriage in this country, you probably would have laughed at me. And I think most people would have, or at the very least, you would have been a bit confused and you would have told me, oh, that's ridiculous. The fact is, opinions do change. People's consciousness does change. Paradigms are meant to be broken. That's what the alt-right is doing.
Week of news. Anybody see any good movies? I saw one where it was a comedy where the head of the KKK became president of the United States. It was pretty hilarious. Oh God! Okay, look. When you take a step back, I actually think it's an exciting time to be alive. Sure, for our new president-elect, we ended up with a racist, megalomaniacal, billionaire, con man, poon hound, which is not good, not good. And sure, he actually stole the election using immense voter suppression and worse, which I'll get into later. But here's the silver lining. The corrupt, insane, two-party system is done. It's fucking done, all right? The Republican who just won the election hates most of the Republicans in Congress and disagrees with them on half the issues. The Democratic establishment has just proven themselves completely out of touch, incompetent, and assholes. They thought they could coronate a corrupt war hawk millionaire darling of Wall Street. They crushed the popular candidate Bernie Sanders with voter suppression and election fraud. They stand for nothing except their own greed. The two-party system is done. And yeah. And people realize it. In 2015, for the fifth consecutive year, at least 4 in 10 U.S. adults identified as political independents. That means independents at 42% are kicking the ass of Democrats at 29% and Republicans at 26% and vegan cosplayer enthusiasts at 7%. Only 7 for them. The two-party duopoly means nothing anymore. It means as much as saying thanks to a bathroom attendant at a fancy restaurant. You know, thanks for doing a job I don't need or want you to do, and making the whole bathroom experience uncomfortable, and watching me pee. Thank you. They should at least replace those guys with like a doctor or something, so he could give you useful information. You know, like, hey, urine looks a little cloudy there, fella. Might wanna get some tests done. Here's a mint. The two-party system means nothing, and people are waking up to that reality, which is why it's an exciting time to be alive. The WikiLeaks revelations have shown us how our politics truly work. Campaign finance laws are broken regularly on both sides. The big banks picked Obama's entire cabinet from the beginning. There's pay to play both with corporate elite and with foreign governments. This pay to play situation is as bad as the pay to pee situation at a nice restaurant. Because you gotta tip them, you gotta tip the guy. Back when I was completely broke and I performed at a comedy club that had one of those guys, this is true, I had to save up just to pee. I had to put some on layaway. You piss half now and half next week. But it's an exciting time to be alive. By the way, we had an hour-long meeting to try to figure out what image represents exciting time to be alive. And that's all we came up with. I need to fire everyone. It's an exciting time to be alive because more people than ever know the mainstream media is a sham. Just 6% of people say they have a lot of confidence in the media, putting the news industry about equal to Congress. 6%! That means 94% of us get it. And the other 6% probably won't make it long before accidentally suffocating themselves inside a plastic bag. So soon it'll be 100%. It's an exciting time to be alive. More people than ever know the voting machines are crap. They're crap. Exit poll gate and election fraud are at the front of people's minds for the first time ever. And we just saw another rigged election. On top of that, new evidence has come forward showing that flossing is bullshit. You don't have to do it anymore. The Associated Press reported when the federal government issued its latest dietary guidelines, the flossing recommendation had been removed. They found the evidence for flossing is weak, very unreliable, and very low quality. I knew it! I fucking knew it! Something was up with the flossing. We clean other parts of our body all the time. We don't use a piece of string to help. Your doctor never says, like, have you been rubbing a length of rope between your butt cheeks every day? Like I told you, I see a lot of buildup. I knew it! Fuck you, Big Floss! Your empire is through! It's an exciting time to be alive. People are standing up for Black Lives Matter, for Standing Rock, for a $15 minimum wage, for women's rights, for LGBT rights, and more. It's an exciting time to be alive. Climate change is now accepted and understood by everyone except the president-elect. And maybe, in order to get active, we needed to have an ugly sack of flesh filled with animal bile and orange peels as our president. As long as the face of destroying the planet was the friendly, intellectual President Obama, no one felt a need to do shit. In terms of climate change, we're at a fork in the road that could mean the end of things as we know it. Or we can go the other way and usher in a time of sustainability and peace powered by amazing technology. Technology like hydroponic farming, affordable water purification, renewable energy, self-driving electric vehicles. There's all kinds of jaw-dropping technology out there.
A pair of robotic furry seals help elderly victims now in a retirement home recover from their mental scars.
Comfort comes in the form of a small white robot seal named Paro.
What do you want?
If I hold on to this, it doesn't matter if there's a typhoon outside. I still feel like I'm safe. It's just as cute as a little living creature, and so everyone looks after it every day. It does sometimes run out of battery power and stop. But when it's got its eyes open, everyone stands around talking to it, asking it how it's doing, and things like that.
Incredible! You know? Who says technology can't save us? You can 3D print a cock now! You can! It's a brave new world. You can 3D print other things too, but I just feel like the dildo is always the bellwether with new technology. The Bernie Sanders movement showed us all how tenuous the grip of the power elite is. You know that poster of the cat like barely hanging onto the tree branch? And it says, hang in there, right? That one? That cat is the corrupt power elite's hold on our society. Woo! That's what it looks like. The hold of Wall Street and Monsanto and Big Oil and Big Pharma. And they are on the edge. All we got to do is get a fire hose and spray them off, right? Now we could fail. We could fail. Over the next 30 years, climate change could run away with itself. Death and destruction, extinction and pollution will be all we know, and it will suck. It'll suck worse than being at a Michael Bolton concert and the doors are locked from the outside and they've hired people to walk around and pull earplugs out of your ears. Like, terrible. But you can't deny it's an exciting time to be alive. And maybe we'll win. The building blocks for a massive successful movement are here. The education, the information, the technology, and the motivation. People are angry and they're more aware than ever. The time is now, and if we put our minds to it, Donald Trump and no other dick helmets will be able to stop us. All right? Plus, I'm pretty sure this is an alternate future right now, and any minute Marty McFly will stop Biff from ever becoming president.
I fall into the darkness and I can't get out. Once again depressed, stressed and filled with doubt. Ain't no solid evidence justificating the aggravating decision to choose a musician's existence. It is intense, losing confidence. Really wanna break through, but I feel defense. Defensive way of acting, the way I react when I feel this way. I'ma kill the day, ay. Listen up, normally I'm up, but when the down comes around, y'all better shut up. I'm encaged in my own rage, my own resentment. This state of mind normally stays for a day, but hey, I really try to be the nicest guy, but sometimes my insecurity slides me right. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Phil, I'm either an asshole or truly real. This remains for anyone if I ever offended you. I'm torn between ups and downs, and the ups is losing, dude. I'm choosing to be this way, cause it's a part of me and the lyricist that I say. I pray to stay righteous and fight just not to give up, and show these fools that I do give up. Oh, but I guess it's just my mind state. I guess it's just my mind state.
broken, stuck in an illusion of grandeur. Or get suicidal like my late grandfather. I heard like a kitten, yet often feel smitten by the terrible disease of never feeling at ease. I'm displeased by everything and anything at all times, even though I'm pleasantly positive at all rhymes. It's just a facade. Feel pleasant every time I hear them applaud. Yet regret sinks in whenever I'm not singing. Thinking I should have finished my school instead of just bringing the rhyme. Yet I'm just manic like that. Trading education for inspiration is just rap. I'm suicidal tendencies, I need to stop thinking like that.
That Donald Trump was gonna win the election. I did suspect it. Seemed like Hillary was doing well in the polls, and yet I know the whites. You guys aren't as full of surprises as you used to be. And I think I speak for all of Black America when I say that we are all praying for Omarosa. I don't even know what she's doing in the news. But America's done it. We've actually elected an internet troll as our president. And the whites were furious. We've never seen anything like it. I haven't seen white people this mad since the OJ verdict. There's a split screen with white people on both sides. Nah, I'm not saying I'm enjoying it. I'm just saying I've never seen this before. I watched a white riot in Portland, Oregon on television the other night. News said they did $1 million worth of damage. Every Black person was watching that like amateurs. So I'm staying out of it. I'm just going to take a knee like Kaepernick and let the whites figure this out amongst themselves. Because for us, you know what I mean? We've been here before. And I don't even think it's the most important thing we're dealing with, man. Don't forget all things that are going on. Shootings. What do you think about that? All these shootings in the last year. The worst mass shootings in the history of the United States. Pulse nightclub, which they said ISIS did. And then it turned out that wasn't exactly what happened. And if that is what happened, then ISIS is scarier than I thought, because they have very deep cover operatives. Look, guys, I'm going down deep for this one. I might have to get a Grindr account and jerk a few guys off and throw them off the trail. I don't think the guy was in ISIS. What happened was he pledged allegiance to ISIS before he did what he did, which is not the same as being in ISIS. You know what I mean? Like, I was going to have sex with a girl, and right before I did it, I screamed out, Wu-Tang. That don't mean I'm in the Wu-Tang Clan. I'm just shouting Wu-Tang out. It's more shootings than I can literally count. You can't even go to the goddamn zoo without seeing a shooting nowadays. They shot a gorilla in my local zoo. And the Cincinnati police said shooting that gorilla was the toughest decision this department ever had to make. I said, well, you about to see a lot of getting in gorilla costumes in Cincinnati. Why do we have to say that? Why do we have to say that Black Lives Matter? Now, I admit that is not the best slogan, but McDonald's already took You Deserve a Break today. And I guess it's kind of catchy because everyone else is biting it. Even the police bite it. Blue Lives Matter. What, was you born a police? That is not a blue life. That's a blue suit. If you don't like it, take that suit off, find a new job. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, if I could quit being black today, I'd be out the game. I did the next best thing. I became a rich black person, which is harder than you think because, you know, your life becomes gentrified, like Brooklyn. All your black friends start moving out and all these new white friends start moving in. You find yourself saying things to friends you grew up with that you never dreamed you'd say. I'm sorry, you can't come with us. There's only enough room in the balloon basket for four. Ta-ta. Donald Trump, he did it. He's our president. And I feel bad saying it. I'm staying in a Trump hotel right now. I don't know if he's gonna make a good president, but he makes a swell hotel suite, I'm gonna tell you that. Housekeeping comes in the morning and cleans my room, and I just, hey, good morning, housekeeping. Grab a big handful of plates and say, you know. Boss said it was okay. Sorry about that, Lauren. All my black friends who have money said the same thing when Trump got elected. That's it, bro. I'm out. I'm leaving the country. You coming with us? Nah, I'm good, dog. I'm gonna stay here and get this tax break, see how it works out. Because that's how it is being Dave Chappelle. First time I got some money, it didn't work out like that. The most unlikely thing that happened ever was a black president came out of nowhere like, come on, everybody, let's start thinking about everyone else. Oh, I just got this money! I didn't even think it was possible. Trump went to go see Obama last week. Did you see that? Yeah, did you see Trump's face when he came out the meeting? Trump got sunned. He looked shook. Trump looked like he got shook. He probably came in there, hi, how are you, Mr. President? Good to see you. Hello, Donald. How you feeling? Oh, God, I gotta tell you, this job looks like it's gonna be a lot harder than I thought. Really? It's not that hard. I mean, at least you get to be white while you're doing it. I'm just saying, I'm a little nervous. Nervous? Come on, man, relax. You haven't even met the aliens yet. It's gonna be all right. I don't know what he's gonna do, but I know Obama did a good job. Obama did a good job. I think we'll all miss him when he's gone. Do you agree with this? And thank God he lived to tell about it. This is the first black dude that ever heard America's Secrets. And I'm happy he lived. If someone threatened our president, that is the only time that I'd want him to be stereotypically black. We'd be on the news like, an assassination attempt was carried out today on the United States president in a bizarre sequence of events. The president himself was armed, fired back, killing four people that had nothing to do with the incident. He then ripped off his shirt, screamed out Chi-Town for some reason. You know, before I go, I do want to say one thing, and this is not a joke, but I think it's important that I say this because they're marching up the street right now as we speak. A few weeks ago, I went to the White House for a party. It was the first time I'd been there in many years, and it was very exciting. And BET had sponsored the party, so everyone there was black. And it was beautiful. I walked through the gates. You know, I'm from Washington, so I saw the bus stop, well, the corner where the bus stop used to be, where I used to catch the bus to school and dream about nights like tonight. It was a really, really beautiful night. And at the end of the night, everyone went into the West Wing of the White House, and it was a huge party. And everybody in there was black except for Bradley Cooper for some reason. And on the walls were pictures of all the presidents of the past. Now, I'm not sure if this is true, but to my knowledge, the first black person that was officially invited to the White House was Frederick Douglass. They stopped him at the gates. Abraham Lincoln had to walk out himself and escort Frederick Douglass into the White House. And it didn't happen again, as far as I know, until Roosevelt was president. When Roosevelt was president, he had a black guy over and got so much flack from the media that he literally said, "I will never have a nigger in this house again." I thought about that and I looked at that room and I saw all those black faces in Bradley and I saw and I saw how happy everybody was. These people who had been historically disenfranchised, and it made me feel hopeful and it made me feel proud to be an American. And it made me very happy about the prospects of our country. So, in that spirit, I'm wishing Donald Trump luck. And I'm gonna give him a chance. And we, the historically disenfranchised, demand that he give us one too.
We're building up a new world. Do not sit idly by. Do not remain neutral. Do not rely on this broadcast alone. We are only as strong as our signal. There is a war going on for your mind. If you are thinking, you are winning. Resistance is victory. Defeat is impossible. Your weapons are already in hand. Reach within you and find the means by which to gain your freedom. Fight with tools. Your fate and that of everyone you know depends on it.
One of the things that we know about life is that it is always changing. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Sometimes things go real well, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes you're happy, and sometimes you're sad. Now that's that thing called life. And when we begin to understand and know that, accepting that reality, that we will never ever have things just on an even keel all the time, that you're gonna have some ups and you're gonna have some downs. But during those down moments, that's where the growth takes place. That's where the work is. See, anybody can feel good when they have their health, their bills are paid. Anybody could be positive then. Anybody can have a larger vision then. Anybody can have faith under those kinds of circumstances. See, but the real challenge, The real challenge of growth, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, comes when you get knocked down. It takes courage to act. Part of being hungry when you've been defeated, it takes courage to start over again. The power to hold on in spite of everything, the power to endure, this is the winner's quality. And this is an opportunity for you to grow. And you've got to be so relentless, regardless of what comes down the pipe, that you're always looking for a way to get over, always looking for a way that you can break through, always looking for a way that you can win, always looking for a way that you can strike a telling blow. Decide that you're going to push yourself. Most people won't do that. Most people give up on themselves easily. You know the human spirit is powerful. There's nothing as powerful. It's hard to kill the human spirit. You've got to be willing to go against the tide. You've got to be willing to harness your will and say, in spite of this, I'm in control here. I'm coming back, and I'll be stronger and better because of it.
Smells like freedom. Smells like passion.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Welcome back to the War for the White House Bunker. A troubling new report from the Shuttleworth Institute shows that due to Facebook, every potential candidate for the 2040 presidential race, no matter how smart or accomplished, is now completely unelectable. I'm standing in the 2012 DemocraGrid with Jason Copeland. Jason, walk us through this.
Yeah, we're looking at really a political crisis here. I mean, this is an alarming new study. Take a look at one of the candidates that the study points out. This is Trevor Kaufman.
Okay.
He's out of Houston, Texas, high school class president. Spends 10 hours a week volunteering, got a full scholarship to Duke University.
He sounds like leadership potential.
Well, but take a look at his Facebook photo album, and you can see him smoking marijuana out of a lacrosse stick case his roommate converted into a six-foot-tall bong they called Goliath.
Okay, that will definitely come back to haunt him if he runs for office.
Most definitely. And the study cites even more dire outlooks for potential female candidates.
Really?
89% of women under 25 are tagged in at least one photograph French-kissing two of their friends passed out on a bathroom floor in just their underwear.
Wow, that won't look good in an attack ad, but we're not just talking about photographs here, are we, Jason?
No, no, we are not. In fact, the study points out that every word a potential candidate writes, even if it's 20, 25 years ago, is going to be used against them by their political opponents in the future.
Okay.
So, I mean, these kids need to understand that even if you call one single friend of yours a Jew whore, even if it's a joke, that's it. You can't run for president.
Right. Now, I understand that both major parties have leapt into action. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is interesting. The Democrats are currently searching basements and creepy backyards. Sheds in search of somebody who was kidnapped at a young enough age that they have no online presence.
That is a very interesting
tactic. Could be an option, and the GOP has been looking at this young man. This is a 20-year-old Jeeves Jones. He's currently living in Appalachia with his fundamentalist Christian grandmother and no electricity.
So Jeeves has no Facebook page.
Jeeves does not. In fact, he's completely illiterate, and the Republican Party has begun grooming him for a possible candidacy in 2036.
All right. Well, at least there's someone. Thank you, Jason Copeland.
Thanks, Andrea.
Now, in related news, former White House advisor David Axelrod is advocating getting rid of the presidency altogether. He suggests that instead of having elections, whoever becomes mayor of the Washington Monument on Foursquare gets to lead the country. We'll talk to him later in the hour.
Now, go find the others.com.
We, the people, chose to do these things together because we know this country cannot accomplish great things if we pursue nothing greater than our own individual ambition. Unfortunately, you've grown up hearing voices that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate, sinister entity that's at the root of all our problems. Some of these same voices also do their best to gum up the works. They'll warn that tyranny's always lurking just around the corner. You should reject these voices.